Let's read the Word of God together. We're turning back to Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God's Word. I think we all know what it's like to worry about something, to be anxious about something. Worry and anxiety are sadly all too common companions for many of us. We've all experienced worry and anxiety, to different degrees, of course, some of us quite severely. You've perhaps had to receive counselling or medication for your anxiety. If so, you are not alone. Anxiety is now the most common issue for which people of all ages seek counselling today. Counsellors are reporting that more and more people in their 20s and 30s, millennials, they are the most anxious generation in history, and that's only likely to be surpassed by the next generation coming up, because more and more there's cases of young people and children coming to them with problems associated with anxiety. It's a real problem. A real problem and a common problem. And it can affect male or female, the married or the single, the old or the young, the well-off or the not-so-well-off, the popular or the lonely. And it can strike when least expected, out of nowhere. You don't need me to tell you, out of nowhere you can be hit by wave upon wave of anxiety and worry. And psychologists reported when the UK went into lockdown measures a couple of weeks ago, levels of anxiety went through the roof. The coronavirus crisis, it's having a huge impact, isn't it, on people's mental health. Loss of routine is a factor. School closures are a factor. Exam cancellations, treatment interruptions, the isolation, health concerns, financial worries, the general uncertainty about the future, they're all feeding in and affecting all of us. And for some of us, if worry and anxiety weren't issues for you before, they could well be issues now. The question is, what hope does Christianity offer to the anxious soul? What help does Christ offer? Are we simply to relax, Trust God, and in the words of Elsa, let it go. But what if no matter how hard we try to let go of anxiety, what if anxiety will just not let go of us? What then? What then? Does the Bible have anything to offer us? Well, friends, the Bible does have a lot to say about anxiety. It may not use terms like chronic anxiety or anxiety disorders. Those things weren't even thought about in those days. But people in Bible times did experience anxiety and worry and distress and trouble and heaviness and burdens and cares. All of those things were talked about in the Bible. The world of the Bible was a very unstable, unpredictable world. Jesus lived and breathed in a time when a summer's drought could wipe out the winter's crops. He walked among men who knew all too well that a fruitless night of fishing could leave you empty-handed the next day. Jesus knew the human heart, and he knew the cares that could overwhelm a person. And he spoke plenty. He spoke plenty about worry and anxiety. Nowhere more so than this passage before us just now. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Familiar words for many of us. It's not very difficult to work out the subject here, because six times in these verses, Jesus uses the word anxiety. Anxiety. And this may be worth saying, this is not just a one-off sermon on anxiety. It's simply the next sermon, the next passage we're coming to in our series in the Gospel of Matthew. But how gracious of God, how merciful, how kind he is for those of us who are really struggling with anxiety at the minute. Here he is providing scriptures just like these at a time just like this. How merciful that God is not silent when it comes to worry and anxiety. Here is Jesus, the kind, the compassionate one, speaking to your heart and mine in a most timely manner about the issue of anxiety. Now I want to look with you at three things from this passage. And they all begin with A. And I hope in some ways that will be memorable and helpful to some of us. Christ's attitude to anxiety. Christ's answer to anxiety. And then thirdly, Christ's alternative to anxiety, his attitude, his answer, his alternative. So let's look firstly, Christ's attitude to anxiety. What does Christ think about the issue of anxiety? He is, after all, the wonderful counselor. What's his opinion? What's his attitude towards this subject? Well, we don't have to guess. We don't have to piece information together. We don't have to read between the lines. It's very, very clear in these verses as to what Jesus thinks. Verse 25, do not be anxious. Verse 31, do not be anxious. Verse 34, do not be anxious, time and time again. Don't be anxious. Don't be overwhelmed with perplexing care. Don't be swamped with fears and worries. Don't let worry tear you apart. After all, says Jesus, what good will it do for you? What use is worrying about something? He says that, verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, worrying does not do anything to change your situation. And you will well know, medical research today has proved beyond doubt that anxiety, worry, it's actually bad for our health. It certainly doesn't lengthen our lives, but shortens them. And we can literally worry ourselves sick. But as Psalm 139 reminds us, God has numbered all of our days. So all the worrying in the world will not stretch them out any longer. That's something we need to remind ourselves, isn't it? Just at the present time, worrying and being anxious, according to Jesus, it gets you nowhere. It accomplishes nothing. But not only that, it's contrary to the explicit word of God. Not only is worry and being anxious, not only is it fruitless, it's forbidden. It's forbidden. The command is quite plain. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Now, should be careful here. The kind of anxiety spoken of here, it's different from the cares and concerns of life that lead us to act in a responsible manner. That is to say, it's very different from taking care in crossing the road, or being careful or cautious in producing good work in your job. Jesus isn't forbidding that kind of careful concern. He's not forbidding taking careful thought to those things. Nor is he condemning, I don't think, the person who suffers what you might call a clinical anxiety. Because for some people, anxiety can be so extreme that they're diagnosed with what might be called anxiety disorder or social anxiety or panic disorder. And while sin will have no doubt contributed to their condition and will no doubt play a part in their condition, I do think we should be slow to say that that sort of anxiety is purely sinful. More often than not, simply saying that just heightens a Christian's anxiety in that case. No, the anxiety Jesus is speaking about here, it isn't clinical anxiety as such, but it's fretful anxiety. It's the same word he uses here as he uses when speaking of Martha, who was distracted with much serving. And Jesus said, "You're worried about many things." It's the same word Paul uses in Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything." This is an anxiety then that fails to see and trust in the providence of God. That's the anxiety that's forbidden. The kind of anxiety that comes from a lack of trust in God. That's the issue here in Matthew 6. We don't believe that the Lord will provide what we need, and we get anxious about it. We fear the worst and we worry about it. And it's a spiritual problem. Jesus says as much. Do remember he's speaking here in this sermon to his disciples on the Mount. And he tells them in verse 30, when we worry, when we allow anxiety to grip us and control us, he says, we are men and women of little faith. Little faith. So do you see worry, fretfulness, anxiety for the vast majority of believers? It's a faith problem, not a biological problem, not a hormonal imbalance, not a temperament issue. Those things all have a bearing, but for most of us, it's ultimately a lack of faith problem. And that's the underlying problem for most of us here, a lack of trust in God, a distrust of God. When we give in to worry and anxiety, we're saying, in effect, I don't think God cares for me. I don't think his plan here is for my good at all. And we doubt our Heavenly Father's love and care and provision for us. It's a refusal to exercise faith, anxiety. You could say anxiety is the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith. It's a lack of acceptance of the providence of God in our lives. That's the issue for most of us. And there isn't a human being on this planet who doesn't struggle with anxiety. But here is Christ's attitude to it. Do not be anxious. Not only is it fruitless, but it's forbidden. But to someone struggling with worry and anxiety, to be simply told this, to be simply told, do not be anxious, well, that's not much help, really, is it? But Jesus doesn't simply tell us that. He doesn't leave things there. So let's look secondly then at Christ's answer to anxiety. We thought about his attitude. What about now his answer? One of the things we're praying for right now is that a vaccine, an antidote, will be discovered for this coronavirus. But it's likely, isn't it, that the clinical trials, mass production of such a cure, it's likely that it's still months and months away. But here in this passage, Jesus gives us the answer to anxiety. The antidote for anxiety. The master doctor prescribes for you and me the answer for our troubled souls. How wonderful. We can divide it into three parts. And again, if this is helpful to remember or file away, I've tried to arrange them. They all begin with the letter B. So firstly, the first part of this answer: behold God's care for his creation. Behold God's care for creation. Now, this is verses 26 to 30. Have you ever noticed that when you begin to get anxious about something, that it just dominates your thinking? And you start to see everything through the lens of your trouble and your anxiety, that you can't think of anything else. You can't see anything else. But Jesus calls us in these verses to look up from our worries and to take in the bigger picture, to take in the whole of life and to behold specifically God's care. God's care for creation. Life is more than food, it's more than drink, it's more than what you wear. Life is more than your worries, he says. Look at the birds and look at the flowers. See what an exquisite designer God is. Consider what a perfect provider he is. Look at how interested God is in the most minutest details of creation. Look at how he's involved in it all. He provides even the food for the littlest bird. He arranges it that the flowers and the very blades of grass, that they're spectacular wonders of design. He made it all and he cares for it all and he provides and sustains it all. And Jesus makes the point. Do you really think, Christian, that he's going to forget about you? One of his beloved children, one of his blood-bought children, do you really think that he'll overlook your needs, your concerns? No, if he cares for the birds and the grass, he cares for you, believer. He cares for you. So let me suggest, in the days we're living in just now, that you find some time in the day Our Prime Minister has allowed us to get out for a form of exercise every day. Let me suggest that when you get out, or even if you're not able to get out, that you behold God's care for his creation. Look for the birds. Listen to the birds. Observe the birds. Take in the flowers. Get into your garden if you can. Take it in. Take it in. If he cares for these things, how much more does he care for you? 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Or J.B. Phillips has a nice paraphrase of that verse. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. So behold God's care for creation, the first part of the antidote, the first part of the answer. The second part, be distinct from the unbelieving world. Be distinct from the unbelieving world. This is verses 31 and 32. And this is, of course, if you remember, it's one of the main points of the entire Sermon on the Mount, that the people who belong to the kingdom of God, that they live distinctively from the world around them. It's all about distinct Christian living. And Jesus teaches us here that when we give in to worry, we're not being distinct. When we give in to worry, we're giving in to pagan thinking, worldly thinking. Verses 31 and 32. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the world, seeks after all these things. In other words, don't fall into the trap of thinking and behaving like an unbeliever. After all, if you are an unbeliever, you really do have something to worry about. If you are outside of Christ, you should be anxious, because you are under the wrath of God. You're heading for a lost eternity. If anyone in the world should be anxious today, it should be you, unbeliever. But the Christian has nothing to worry about. Because your heavenly Father, Jesus says, knows exactly what you need. And can you see then how this can be an area of powerful witness to a stressed, anxious world? It was for John Wesley. In 1735, one of the things that influenced Wesley the most was seeing cheerful, non-worrying Christians. John Wesley at that time thought he was a believer. He was going out to America as a minister, but he'd never been converted. And halfway across there was a terrible storm. They were all in danger of being shipwrecked. Everyone thought they would die. John Wesley was terrified. But he saw on the middle of the deck some Christians from Germany. And they were singing and praising God with psalms in the middle of the storm. And Wesley wrote in his journal, a terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sung on. I asked one of them afterwards, were you not afraid? He answered, I thank God, no. But were you not your women and children afraid? He replied mildly, no, our women and children are not afraid to die. The storm was boisterous, but the Christians kept praising God. Finally, the storm subsided. Those last words are great, aren't they? The storm was boisterous, but the Christians kept praising God. Finally, the storm subsided. But John Wesley said to himself, those people have a faith that I don't have. They know God in a way that I don't. They have a trust deeper than I have. Before long, then, he was converted. Do you see, friends, during this crisis, there is an opportunity. An opportunity for the Christian church to powerfully witness to an anxious world. Be distinct. It's part of the answer to anxiety. Be distinct. Think of your words as you speak to unbelieving neighbours and colleagues and family. This is a unique opportunity to witness for God. Be distinct. So behold God's care for creation. Be distinct from the unbelieving world. And the third part, believe there will be grace. Believe there will be grace. Verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's much like that line out of the Lord's Prayer earlier in chapter 6. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's very similar. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Our Father in heaven, you see, he doesn't supply our needs with a lump sum at the beginning of our lives. He supplies day by day by day, one day at a time. Corrie ten Boom used to say that when she was a child, her father would take her on train trips. And while waiting for the train to come, she would ask her father for the ticket, but he'd say something like, I'll give it to you just before we get on. And each time when the train would arrive, he'd hand her her ticket just before getting on, exactly when she needed it. And Corrie's point was that God gives us grace just when we need it. Just when we need it. And we're to be like the children of Israel in that sense, picking up our manna one day at a time. We need to remember, we only live on this earth one day at a time. This is the day God has called you to live. He doesn't call you to live any other day today. That the only day he expects you to live today, it is this day, right now. And he'll supply you with the grace you need for today and tomorrow. He'll supply you with the grace you need for tomorrow. Such a helpful truth for us, friends. We rely on daily grace. And I just know some of you are going to be worrying and going to be anxious about what may or may not happen in the weeks and months that lie ahead of us. But listen. Listen, he will give you the grace you need when you need it. He's given you everything you need for today. And that thing you're worried about in the future, he'll give you everything you need for that when you come to that. His mercies are new, what? Every year? Every month? Every week? No. Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Friend, tomorrow is a brand new, untouched day. And there will be brand new, untouched grace that comes with it. Oh, we've no idea. Of course we've no idea what the challenges are in the months that lie ahead of us. But we know that whatever happens, there will be grace. There will be grace. One Christian counsellor says, those four words are the key to battling anxiety. There will be grace. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Christ's answer to anxiety. Behold God's care for creation. Be distinct from the unbelieving world and believe there will be grace. So his attitude and his answer. Let's think now, thirdly, Christ's alternative to anxiety. And this is perhaps the most helpful truth for the believer wrestling with anxiety. Christ's alternative to anxiety. And we're now just looking at verse 33. It's alternative. In other words, it's not enough to try not to worry, because that would be like a football team just defending all the time. No, we need to press on to something. We need to give ourselves to something. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Christian, this is what you should do instead of worrying. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Give yourself to the kingdom of God. Give yourself to it, Jesus says, to the rule and the reign of God in your life and in the lives of others. Yes, by all means, get enough sleep. Yes, get some exercise. Yes, eat a healthy diet. Do all of that, sure, but seek this first, God's reign in your life and his reign in the lives of others. Become wrapped up in the kingdom of God. Let that be your prime objective, your first purpose, your most important desire and motive. I'm convinced the reason some Christians are worried is that they've simply too much time on their hands. And they spend too much time feeding their anxieties and their worries. And maybe for some worried, anxious Christians, they need to come aside from social media and from the bombardment of news alerts. And maybe some of us were not seeking God's kingdom first, and we're not pressing on in the things of God. Corrie ten Boom, again. Remember, she spent years in a Nazi concentration camp. She helped many Jewish people, but she probably went through more heartache and trial than many of us combined will ever know. She said a few years before she died, she said these words: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength." I think it's very helpful. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It doesn't do anything for tomorrow. It doesn't do anything for tomorrow, but it empties today of strength. It empties today of strength. In other words, it saps you today. It drains you today. And just imagine what could be done for God if you and I put all the energy that we use for worrying, if we put it into his service. Just imagine. Just imagine if you turned your worrying into praying, or into fasting, or into witnessing, or into worshipping. So in the middle of an anxious world, friends, let us press on. Let's keep on praying. Let's keep on trusting. Let's keep on believing. Let's keep on doing good. Let's keep on serving the Lord. Let's keep on helping others. Let's keep on sharing. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it, the doctor put it, if you want to be anxious about anything, be anxious about your spiritual condition. Be anxious about your nearness to God, your relationship to him. If you put that first, he says, worry will go. That is the result. This great concern about your relationship to God will drive out every lesser concern. This great concern about your relationship to God will drive out every lesser concern. Do you see? The more time we spend seeking to be like Jesus, the less time we have to worry. The less time we have to worry. It's the alternative to anxiety. Be about the business of today, Christian. Serve God today. Commit all your troubles to Him today. And leave tomorrow to your Father. Because there will be grace. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, forgive us for those times when we haven't trusted in your care and provision for us. Those times when we have just given ourselves over to worry and anxiety. We thank you that Jesus is not silent on this subject. And we pray that in these days you would help us, O Lord, to behold your care for creation, to be distinct from the unbelieving world, and to believe that there will be grace. Help us to be men, women, and young people who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For those of us, O Lord, who find ourselves in a pit of anxiety and worry, deliver us, we pray. Bring change into our minds and our situation. Free us from our bondage. Restore to us the joy of salvation, we ask. And Lord, for those unbelieving, for those who are not saved, for those who are maybe listening or maybe we know, and they are without a care in the world, so to speak. Put within them a deep anxiety for these things, Lord. Cause them to be anxious about their souls. Bring them then to Jesus, the great physician. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.